Good morning.
Good morning.
I think it's supposed to warm up today. If it does or not, it's pretty nice in here. It's dry, and amen. I communicated with some folks up north today, and it makes it easier to handle whatever the temperature is here. I got a call from a pastor friend, and when I say a pastor friend, not just a friend of mine, but a friend of yours. And I got a call this morning from Pastor Mike Veach, First Bible Church, Staten Island, New York. And he wanted to assure me that he is praying for this meeting. I've said it before, he loves this church very much. He holds you people in high regard. He prays for you often, but he's a dear friend of ours. And I preach there often as well. And so we have a little connection that way. So Brother Veach said, not just him, but the whole church up there in New York City. And they're an hour ahead of us, so they've been in prayer for us already. Amen. My name's Dave Spurgeon. For those that don't know me, my wife Susan's back there. And what a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord, to be a fellow believers, and to have the liberty that comes from the Spirit of the Lord. And we've had liberty these last few days, and I just pray I don't do anything to mess it up. Amen. We had good Sunday school lesson this morning. That's good. You know why it was good? It was right out of the Bible, and the Bible's wonderful. So before I tell you where to turn this morning, let me say this. This guy was saying, he said, every Christmas morning, when his kids were little, he read them the nativity story out of a big family Bible. And when his youngest son was old enough to speak, he asked him, he said, Dad, what is a stable? And the father thought about it for a moment, and he wanted to explain it to the child in a way that he could grasp at that stage in his life. So he looked at the boy and he said, well, it's kind of like your sister's bedroom without the stereo. I don't know, maybe that just hit home to me because I've got a daughter that... Well, let's go on. Luke chapter 19. I can't help it, honey. She's shaking her head. It just happens like that. Luke chapter 19 this morning. And let's read beginning in verse 1. Luke chapter 19, it says this, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. In verse 3, it says this, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. He wasn't lazy. Amen. When he couldn't get to where Jesus was, he figured out how to see him anyway. If he had the same ho-hum spirit many folks do these days, he would have said, oh, that's too much hassle. I'll catch him next time. But he never passed that way again. So it's to Zacchaeus' credit that he analyzed the situation, saw which way the procession was going, and he ran ahead, climbed up in a sycamore tree. The Bible says in verse 3, he sought to see Jesus. He sought to see Jesus, and that's a good thing right there, no doubt about that. There's no question at this point, by the time you get to Luke 19, the Lord had been in full-time ministry for at least 3 years. His fame preceded him everywhere he went. He'd been preaching. He'd been healing. He'd been teaching. He'd been doing things that no one had ever done before. And there's no doubt Zacchaeus had heard of him. And the scripture records that on this occasion, he wanted to see him. It says he sought to see Jesus. I wonder if one of the reasons that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus might have something to do with the fact that the Lord was really good at rebuking the Pharisees. Yeah. He did that well, and well, there was no loss. Let's face it, there was no loss of love between the Pharisees and the publicans. When they accused the Lord Jesus Christ of being a friend of sinners and publicans, the Pharisees did that. In Luke chapter 18, you've got the Pharisee praying thus with himself. There's a whole lesson right there. But he said, thank God I'm not as other men are, even as this publican. I wouldn't doubt that when word got back to Zacchaeus, that the Lord skinned the publicans real good in Matthew 23. He probably, that probably piqued his curiosity a little bit. The Bible says, whatever the reason, the Bible says he sought to see Jesus who he was. He'd heard about him. Now he wants to see for himself. And that's a good question this morning. Who was Jesus Christ? You go through your Bible and you get a lot of different insight in looking for the answer to that question. In the book of Isaiah, it says this in Isaiah 53 in verse 3, it says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Amen. We're talking about who was this Lord Jesus Christ? An angel appeared, Gabriel by name, appeared to Mary in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And in verse 23, it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child, He appeared to Joseph when he's saying this, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We're talking about looking to see according to the Word of God, not my opinion, not your opinion, not what the television said last week, not what they're preaching at the Astrodome in Houston. Amen. We want to know what the Bible says about who the Lord Jesus Christ was. John the Baptist profoundly stated in John chapter 1 and verse 29, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Pharisees in Luke 11 and 15 said, and some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Amen. A sinner woman in John chapter 4 said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? He was the Christ. Amen. It says that Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, who he was. And as we look through the scripture, we get different people's take on it. God said of him in Matthew 3 and verse 17, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 16, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus Christ himself said in John chapter 10, I and my Father are one. Who was he? Who was he? Boy, I'll tell you what, if you do much personal work at all, if you do much handing out of tracts or witnessing or inviting to church, amen, if you make any effort at all to tell people about the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, you'll get a variety of opinion on the subject. And that's a good question, and people will ask that because they've been so misinformed for so long. People don't know who he was, don't know what he was, don't even know if he was. Some folks say he was a con artist. I'll tell you what, if Jesus Christ was a con artist, he is the greatest con artist that ever lived. More wars been fought over him, more buildings been built honoring him, more songs been written that praise him. More books have been written about him. And the only supernatural book that was ever written is about him from beginning to end. Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus who he was. And I'm going to say this to you this morning. He was either who he said he was, or he was the most delusional liar that ever lived. And I'm going to tell you why I say that. from the cross of Calvary at his own execution, he said to a guy on a cross next to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now only God could say that, or a lunatic. And he is who he said he was. Amen. Billions and billions of people have come and gone since 33 AD. And none of them are as thought about or as talked about or as talked to as much as Jesus Christ. I spent quite a bit of time talking to him this morning. Amen. I hope you have too. Amen. I hope you're talking to the Lord for this meeting. Brother said it right the other night. He didn't come with me. But I'll tell you something else. He's not playing hard to get. He's more interested in meeting with us this week than we are. Amen. Say, well, how do you get him here? How about let's invite him? How about let's sincerely make him feel real welcome? Amen. Let's talk to the Lord about this and see what the Lord will do. Amen. How about that? Was he for real? I'll tell you what, people were hoping he was. And people are still hoping he is. Regardless of the variety of opinions or what they say, here's what people want. Here's what I wanted at the worst state of my lost condition. You know what I wanted? Something to believe in. Something worth dedicating my life to. And I tried several different avenues, and none of them were what I thought they'd be. And truth be known, I never found him. He found me in a jail cell. But I'll tell you what, he's the realest thing that ever set foot on this planet. He's the realest person that ever drew a breath or spoke a word. And I'm glad that he's my Savior. Is my Savior. See, the best thing, Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus who he was. But the best thing about Jesus Christ isn't who he was. The best part is who he is. And he is indeed the Son of the living God. And I'm going to say it again. He's my Savior. In Psalm 42, it says, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle." He's my Savior. I hope he's yours today. I know this, he wants to be. I know this, he can be. The Bible says that God committed his love toward us and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knows all about us and loves us anyway. I'll tell you what, if that doesn't do something for you, amen, you're spending way too much time in front of the television. Amen, that's an amazing thing to me. Amen. So I want to preach this morning on that thought. He sought to see Jesus, and we're going to look at the passage, and we're going to get three things, simple message, three things out of the passage. And so it's time to pray. Father, I love you this morning, and I thank you for the privilege to stand here. I thank you for these precious folks that made exception to their busy lives to come out today. And Lord God, I'm humbled by the responsibility and entirely dependent upon you today to say something that you can use. And I pray that be the case. And if so, I'll certainly give the glory and the credit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that Christians are encouraged this morning, but I pray more than anything else, if there's one in here that's never met the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, knows him in their head, but not their heart, I pray you'd make it real easy for them to see that that is the issue at hand, the most important issue there is, and probably the easiest issue to resolve. Lord, please, I pray you'd move in our midst, be pleased with everything that goes on both sides of the pulpit today. And I pray it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and it said there in verse 3, and could not. He sought to see Jesus and could not for the press. Look at verse 5. And it says this, and when Jesus came to the place, he couldn't get to the Lord. He wanted to. He was trying to, but he couldn't get to him. So what happened? The Lord came to him. The Lord came in and says, Jesus came to the place. And beloved, this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this sin-cursed world a little over 2,000 years ago with a purpose. Oh yeah, singular. It says in Luke 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It says in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul said, of whom I am chief. Well, in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, Paul said, for I am ready to be offered in the time my departure is at hand. And he departed, and he's no longer chief of sinners. But I'll tell you what, the rest of us have been jockeying for position as chief of sinners ever since. I'm happy to report this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ came down here with a purpose, and that was to save sinners. We couldn't get to him. We couldn't get to where he was. We couldn't clean up our act. We couldn't work our way, earn our way, do anything to become acceptable for the glorious heaven that the Lord Jesus Christ had prepared for them that love him. I'm happy to report. Listen, I'm sorry he had to come down here and die on the cross, but I'm glad he was willing to. I'm here to tell you, when we couldn't get to him, he came to us. Bible says Jesus came to the place. The King of Glory came to earth so that he could come to wherever you were, and make forgiveness available to you. I heard a song years ago, a girl sang in a church, when I could not come to where Jesus was, he came to me. I thought about it. I was in a jail cell. I mean, we could take testimonies around the room, and those of you that know where you were, know that you're saved. You can tell me where you were. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, he still had to come to you. I was in a jail cell. Third floor, Montgomery County, Ohio, November 30th, 1990. I got to preach in that jail years later, and I went back up there to that a range where I was, and I looked at the guy in cell number 2, and he said, what the blankety blank you looking at? I said, well, I was just remembering the day it got real crowded in that cell. And he got up, he goes, what are you talking about? I said, a couple years ago, God got in that cell with me. He came to where I was. Like Brother already said, I ain't never been the same. I don't ever want to be the same. Listen, I wasn't looking for him. Amen. He came to me. I got saved in a jail cell. My wife back there, she went to college for 5 years. Amen. She accomplished all her goals. She had enough honesty within her spirit to admit that, hey, something's missing. I'm still empty. She got a book. She read about the Lord. She knelt next to her bed in a little house on the backside of Dayton, Ohio. Hey, let me tell you what happened. Jesus came to her. My pastor in Dayton, Ohio, is a retired Navy chief. I grew up in a rough Irish family in southern Illinois. He was a fighter. He was a hog farmer. He could fix anything. He could break anything. He is rough as a cob. He went into the Navy, amen, and on a ship in 1988 off the coast of France, laying in his wreck on the USS Ponce. He had a gospel tract, and he said, something's missing, and Jesus came to him. That's what he does. That's what he has to do. It says that Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not. And listen, with the best of intentions, you can't get to him. But beloved, I'm talking about this morning with an honest heart. He's more than willing to come to you, to meet you where you are. What do you need? You need an honest heart. You have an honest heart, boy, the Lord can work with that. He can't deal with pride. He can't deal with pity. He can't. He's got to just wait till you get honest with him. What? Understand what? You need him way more than he needs you. Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, amen, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's all it takes. Could it be that simple? It had to be that simple.
Amen. How else would we get in? The Bible says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. I'm happy to report today that wherever it was, if you're saved, wherever you were, many of you might have been an old-fashioned altar, might have been a room somewhere. I don't know. But I'm telling you what, aren't you glad he's willing to come to where you were? Zacchaeus was searching. He might not have even known what he was searching for. We might have somebody in here like that today. Amen. You've tried the methods of this world. Maybe you've tried some of the religions of this world. And you're honest enough within yourself. You might be a good person. I'm not saying you're a wicked sinner like some of us were. But I'm saying this. You might be willing to be honest enough to be searching for what's missing. I can help you with that. The Lord Jesus Christ, every human being has got a place within them that only the Lord Jesus Christ and fill, and he's willing to do it. You've come to the right place. Zacchaeus was searching. If you're searching this morning, could I say the search could be over this morning? Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, and he could not. So Jesus came to him. That's exactly what it says, verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, it doesn't stop there, though. It says he looked up, and he saw him. And he said unto him, he spoke unto him. Amen. He knew him. He knew him by name. And he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. So, the Lord will meet you where you are, but I'm going to tell you what. It's right here in the passage. I'm going to tell you what's necessary to get to Jesus is you got to come down. You're going to have to come down. You know, this world, brother talked about, this world's hung up on programs. Amen. We got programs for everything. One of the best ways to offend people is to start knocking some of the 12-step programs. And we know they're not the answer. We know what the answer is. We also know that if you're ever going to win them, you're going to have to use a little wisdom. So somebody asked me one time, well, Brother Spurgeon, weren't you a doper? Well, I prefer to use the word dope head. I mean, why do you think they call it dope in the first place? Amen. And so I was a dope head, and I was a drunkard. And boy, I'll tell you what, to say I got victory over those things might be to take some of the glory and credit away from Jesus Christ, because I didn't really get victory over anything. Matter of fact, I liked all that stuff. I just didn't want to go to hell for it. And I understand you don't go to hell for being a drunkard. I just didn't want to go to hell for being an infidel, for not believing on Christ. And when I believed in Christ, when I trusted Christ, I didn't need a rocket scientist to tell me, you need to quit drinking now. You need to quit doing drugs. People say now, repentance isn't necessary. It was for me. I had to turn from my wicked ways, and I'm glad I did. Amen. Amen. Now, the flesh doesn't like that, and the flesh still struggles and wants to go back, but there's something greater in me than this thinking flesh. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things you want. So there's a war going. There's supposed to be. I know some Christians that the FBI couldn't find with a warrant today because they're not fighting the good fight of faith, man. They got saved. They were honest enough to trust Christ. And some of them may be making false professions. Some of them may be making true professions and never gotten the Bible enough, never got around other Christians enough, never really got a good glimpse of who their Savior is. And they quit fighting and the flesh won, and that's a sad thing. That's why it's important to be in church. Amen. So I tell you something this morning. Somebody said, Brother Spurgeon, did you get involved in a 12-step program? I said, no. No, I was too old. I don't have the patience. I just enrolled in the 1-step program. Yeah. I stepped down into the presence of the King. Amen. And when I got up, I never been the same. Jesus Christ, he came to the place, he made himself available, and he spoke to him, but here's what he said. He said, come down. And I'll tell you what, there may be somebody in here that if you're ever going to get to Jesus Christ, you're going to have to come down from something. You might have to come down from the position of thinking, well, compared to so-and-so, I'm pretty good. You may very well be. You might be the best person in the community. I gave track to a guy and he read it and he said, wow, that's amazing. You really did need to get saved. And I never realized that there's probably people that read that and that's what they think. Wow, old bike gang member, old federal convicted felon, old drunkard, old gang member. Wow, you really did. Well, I didn't need to get saved any more than he did. Amen. Maybe you're in here today and you go to church and there's a long list of things that maybe some of us are guilty of and you're not guilty of any of them. Well, you're guilty of something, but that's another message. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not all right. You hand out tracts on the street and sometimes you'll get all variety of reactions and sometimes you'll get somebody to just put their hand up and say, I'm all right. That's okay. I'm all right. I'm going to tell you what, man. If your sins aren't under the blood of Jesus Christ, if you're not scripturally forgiven, you can be the most religious person in the place, which could hinder you greatly. Amen. You can be the best person in the community. You can be charitable, honest, moral. And if your sins aren't under the blood of Jesus Christ, beloved, all those things might work together to give you a good life. But when you step into eternity, I'm here to tell you this morning, you're not all right. And the thing that keeps some people from coming to Jesus, people with a head full of knowledge, amen, is that there's something that they need to come down from if they're ever going to get to where Jesus is. The problem is never him. He's made himself available. The Bible said he came to where Zacchaeus was, but there's some things that people, I'm talking about church people. I'm talking about, listen, there's millions and literally millions of Americans in church this morning that aren't saved. Amen. Some of them aren't saved because they won't come down from old-fashioned self-righteousness. Boy, it's amazing. I run across people that are riding the high horse of thinking more highly of themselves than they should, which is real interesting. Well, maybe not. But the Bible talks against that. Speaks against that, many references against that, and so that just tells me they don't read their Bible. That's what that tells me. Listen, I hate to be the one to break the news to you. Actually, maybe I'm not. Maybe I don't hate to be the one. This kind of part of being an evangelist. You know, you've got pastors here, and a pastor's job is to comfort the afflicted, and I'm sure they do a great job. Amen? But I'm an evangelist. My job is to go church to church and afflict the comfortable. So let me be the one to break the news to you. If you're guilty of thinking more highly of yourself than you ought, I don't want to try to do it in a way that maybe you won't throw something at me. I'm Irish too. So that's why me and my pastor, we're a good team. And so, little Irish proverbs float around, amen, when they sober up enough to remember them, most of them. But I want to read an Irish proverb for you today. I don't want to focus especially on you, some of you that are guilty of this little self-righteousness thing. Here's how the little proverb goes. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sunshine warm on your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. That's an Irish proverb, but I added to it. I added to it because I love you and I want to help you. So here's my addition. And may your life someday be half as awesome as you pretend it is on Facebook. I got to work that thing in somewhere, boy. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wait for it, say it. God resisteth
the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I'm telling you something. You might be in here today. You might be doing pretty good by the standards of this life. But if your self-righteousness has kept you from confessing something you and in your heart, you and God both already know that you're a sinner. You're afraid somebody else is going to find out. I got news for you. You're the only person you got fooled. Amen. I'm here to tell you today that pride will keep you from Jesus, and pride will keep Jesus from you. Listen, Jesus did not come to where Zacchaeus was and snap his finger and everything was okay. He came to where he was and he said something to him. And he said, come down. And I'll tell you something, maybe, I don't know everybody here, I don't know hardly anybody, which is a benefit to me. So I'm going to say to you, maybe in the honesty of your own spirit, maybe the thing that you're going to have to come down from to ever have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is self-righteousness. You know, it might be something else. It might be just rebellion. You know what we're good at? I can look around the room and see which one of you are my peers. You know, some of us from the 60s and the early 70s. You know what? Rebellion became real popular in this country, and it hadn't let up a bit. People, somebody said, Brother Spurgeon, were the 60s the most rebellious time? Are you kidding me? Back then, back in the middle 70s, I was downtown. If I was downtown in the daytime when I was a bike gang member, it meant somebody was going to court. That'd be the only reason we'd be downtown. And I remember being downtown one day, a couple of the guys, we got our gang colors. We got all our whatever. And I saw a lady coming down the street a block away with holding a little kid or two. I don't remember. And we're just standing there and milling around waiting for court. And this lady looked at us and crossed the street, went down the other side, got a block past us, crossed back the street again. Well, she didn't even want to go by us on the street. That was in the 70s. It wasn't too many years ago. I was downtown with another brother with a Bible, with a man's haircut, with a decent clothes on, and a gospel tract in one hand, standing on a corner saying, the Bible says, they were trying to head out. And I remember a woman, and she came down, and she looked, and she had a kid, and she crossed the street, and she went down. I'm going, what happened, man? I mean, When I was a bad guy, I knew I was a bad guy. But then I got saved, and I tried to become a good guy. And somehow we're the bad guys again. Here's the problem with rebellion. Jesus said, ye must be born again. And some of us are so stinking rebellious that, I mean, because he said you have to do it this way, we sit there and say, well, nobody's going to tell me what to do. And people will bust hell wide open in spite of what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Listen, I don't think there's anything wrong with being a free spirit and having some independent thinking in some ways. We're Americans. But I'm going to tell you what, don't you take that rebellious thing too far. That book says in 1 Samuel 15, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and iniquity is stubbornness as is iniquity and idolatry. And that stuff will put you in a devil's hell. And maybe what you're going to need to come down from this morning, if you're ever going to come to where Jesus is your rebellion. Amen. Self-righteousness, rebellion. You know something else that keeps people from Jesus? You know something else that maybe somebody might in here this morning need to come down from? Religion. Religion. Amen. Boy, you've heard this said. There's a ditch on either side of the road, and over on this side of the road, there's the dope, and there's the liquor, and there's all the sinful behavior, and the God of this world, man, is hurting people down that ditch. And then on the other side of the road, there's people that can identify and rightfully say, oh, that's bad, and I don't want anything to do with that. And so the ditch on the other side of the road is full of religion. And it don't matter what ditch you're in.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the devil's got a ditch on either side of the road. And I know you've heard that before. Maybe you never thought about it like this. For every mile of road, there's 2 miles of ditch. There's twice as much ditch. There's twice as much distraction. Amen. Is there is road. I'm glad that the way is narrow. I'm glad the way is straight. I'm glad Jesus is the only way, because I made so many bad decisions in my life until I came to the saving knowledge of Christ, that if I could have got it wrong, I would have got it wrong. That's why I can stand here and say, I didn't get religion. I got born again. I got saved. And people say, but Brother Spurgeon, I was raised, or I was taught, or I thought. Well, I'm going to tell you what. If you are raised and you are taught and you think that there's any way to heaven outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, let me be the one to help you with that this morning. You are raised, you are taught, you think wrong. That's why we got a book. That's why God gave us the Bible. Amen. To tell us how simple it is to get to God. But with the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4, small g, his goal in life, and he does a great job, is just cast distraction after distraction after distraction. People are not willing to change. People say, oh, I don't want to come down. Well, you're going to have to if you're going to get to Jesus Christ. Jesus come to the place. He came to the place of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus and he could not. Jesus came to the place. Then he spoke. And if Zacchaeus hadn't have done what Jesus said, the story would have ended with Zacchaeus up in a tree and Jesus going on. And so it is with us. That tree is almost the type of the church. You can come to church, but then Jesus says, you're going to have to come to me. And you say, well, I don't know, this tree's pretty nice. The pew's comfortable in this tree. The air conditioning's pretty good in this tree. I think I'll just hang around up here in this tree. And maybe next time. Really? The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. He says, in verse 5, he said, come down, but he said something before that, didn't he? He said, make haste. He said, make haste. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, there's some urgency to this. And make haste. What does that mean? That's kind of awkward. You know, people have such a hard time understanding the King James Bible. Yes, I know. I looked it up, though, and in the original English, it means, hurry up! You go to jails, and we'll go to jails, and we'll hand out Bibles then. And we'll give them a King James Bible, duh. Because there's only one Bible. And then we'll go back a week later, a month later, and one of the guys that you've talked to before, he'll come to the cell and he'll have an NIV or something. And I'm saying, well, what happened to that Bible I gave you? And I understand they don't know. And I'm not slicing and dicing them. I said, what happened to that Bible I gave you? And they go, well, you know, some other guy came by and he said this one is easier to understand. That's the argument. So I said, I like you sitting there. You parked there all week, brother. You're a good magnet right there. And I said, well, it's hard to understand, huh? I said, what parts are you having trouble with? You ever ask anybody that? Because they always give the same answer. Well, you know, the these and the thous. Yeah, that's rough. Yeah. So I just say, well, I'll help you with that. I can help you with that. And he said, oh, okay. And I said, it means you, dummy. Well, you know, you can say that to people in jail. They're not nearly as easily offended as people in church. Maybe it'll do me well to remember where I am. Amen. But probably not. Amen. Hey, it says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at, oh, today. Oh, you mean he didn't say, oh, hey, Zacchaeus, me and you, we need to get together sometime. We need to make an appointment. Let's meet for coffee. One of these, he said, today. He said, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. I got news for you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Somebody might be in here this morning thinking, I'm going to get saved one of these days. Amen. That's valid. Some people have to hear the gospel more than a few times. I get that. I just want to warn you. There's a danger to putting it off because Mark chapter 4 and verse 15 says, when the Lord is explaining the parable of the seed and the sowers, he said, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown. Let me tell you something. The devil's not waiting for 16 verses of Just As I Am to move, buddy. He doesn't need anybody to tell him to move. Where the word is sown, he starts moving. Now, I got news for you right now. He's moving right now. Oh, yeah. The preaching of the word of God is a supernatural transaction, and therefore it is logical, it is reasonable, it is real that there is supernatural opposition. And I'm sitting here trying to implore you to examine yourself and come to Christ if you're not saved. And we got 12 messages. I'm going to try to minister to everybody in here according to the leading of God, because nobody has sent me a list of all the things you need help with. I went to a church one time, and the guy said, oh, I got there the night before, and I'd never been there, and a preacher said, well, Brother Spurgeon, at Sunday school, I want you to teach on this. And at morning service, I want you to address this. And we're having some problems over here. And on Sunday night, I want you to... I didn't even have messages on those things. Amen. I said, that's what needs to be addressed, huh? He goes, yes, absolutely. I said, well, why aren't you addressing it then? Amen. And I don't know what crowd thinks like that, but the crowd I'm with doesn't. And I said, let me tell you something, pal. I said, my suggestion for you is to find an evangelist that you can trust enough to pray and ask God what your people need. Because that way, if anything gets done, God will get the credit and nobody else. I'm an evangelist. I'm not a hired gun anymore. I've never been asked back there. Because I won't answer the phone when his name comes up. That's why. I'm telling you something. There's an urgency to this thing. I'll tell you what the devil does while the word of God is being preached. He gives reason after reason not to come. What will I have to give up? There's a big one. I've had people ask me that. There's a fellowship track league track years ago, and it said on the cover, I had first got saved, and we had it in our track rack, and it said, what you miss by being a Christian. Yeah, and I got it, and I opened it. One word, big red letters. Hell. I went, that's my speed right there. Yeah, you don't have to talk me into anything. Just give it to me straight. That's as straight as you can get it. That's what you miss by coming to Christ. You miss a lake of fire. You know, people say, what will my friends think? I belong to a motorcycle club, and I buried 41 of my own guys, and on the headstones all across the country, it says, Outlaws Forever. That was the forever chapter. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, is a consideration to me, locked up, what is the club going to think? And I already knew what they were going to think. Yeah, but then I thought, man, all those guys I buried, those guys I fought with, served with, what would they think? And I got into Luke chapter 16, and I found out that that rich man didn't want his brother's company. And there's people that don't get saved because they're afraid of what their friends might think. I'm going to tell you what, you might just need some new friends, but I got news for you. God will give you some. And if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if they're really your friends, God might use you to be a witness in their lives. What will I have to give up? What, you know, I had a guy say, well, I don't want to get saved because I don't think I can live it. I said, I don't think I can live it either. And I've been trying for 24 years. And boy, if the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't, well, that's what it says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the life that I live, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If Jesus Christ don't do it, amen, I'm just like you, my flesh will get up and get busy and get going. I don't think I can live it either, but I got a God that can live it through us. But the devil throws up all these excuses, I'm getting over here so I can remember what they were. Amen? I've got some things I want to do first. Nathan Bedford Forrest wouldn't get saved before going into the Confederate Army. He was a wealthy, educated, very successful Memphis businessman. He wasn't like Lee and Jackson and them other guys that were military men. Amen. He was just a patriot in his mind, and he was willing to fight for the cause, and he enlisted, and his wife was a Christian, and she said, Nathan, please come to Christ, lest you die in battle and go to hell. And he told his wife this. I'm going to have to do some things that a Christian shouldn't do. And he went off to war. And he was a fearless fighter. He had four horses shot out from under him. And he lived through the war. And he made it. He was wounded several times and he made it. And he's back in Memphis after the war's over. And there's a fella standing on a street corner in Memphis with a Bible in his hand. And it was one of his lieutenants. And General Forrest went over to him and he said, Lieutenant, whatever his name was, said, what are you doing? He says, I'm telling people about Jesus Christ. I'm telling people that they don't have to go to hell. General, remember this, remember that, remember those places we were, and remember how close we were to stepping out into eternity without God. And Nathan Bedford Forrest, that general, bowed his knee on the street of Memphis, Tennessee, and asked Christ to save him. You know how many people put it off when the Lord is knocking, when the Lord's knocking on his door to heart and the Spirit of God is bearing witness and it's their time. How many put it off and say, well, what will my friends think? What will I have to give up? What is it that I won't be able to do anymore? Do you know how many of those people never get a chance again? We don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. But you got a guarantee of where you'll wake up when you take your last breath. You'll either lift up your eyes in hell or you'll be in the presence of the Lord. That's a guarantee. I hope you make the right decision. I hope you don't put it off too long. Many put it off. Here's the scary one. We see this all the time. Talk to people. Yes, I know I'm a sinner. Amen. There's a mentality that, instead of the Romans road, you gotta take them to the Ten Commandments. Yeah, you gotta start with, the Ten Commandments and prove to a person that they're a sinner. And there may be somebody that self-righteous out there, but I'm gonna be honest with you. I've never run into them. I haven't run into too many people where I had to spend much time convincing them they'd done something. Amen. I mean, it's never as bad as, you know, what somebody else did, and they think that's the merit that's going to, you know, there's no scale at the pearly gate. Peter is not the doorman. Nobody's going to weigh your good and your bad. Amen. There's none of that going on. This issue's got to get settled down here. You hear me? And I talk to people and they'll admit, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, if what the Bible says about hell is real, I'm going to go there. Yes, I don't doubt Jesus died on the cross just like the Bible says, and I'm going to get saved eventually, but just not right now. And listen, I'm not a salesman. I don't have a sales pitch. We're just presenting the truth, man. It's something you got to do. Amen. I'm not trying to talk anybody into anything. I'm just trying to present you with the truth because the Bible says the truth will make you free. Don't we like freedom in this country? Yeah, it's going fast, but I'm going to tell you what. There's a freedom that you can have in Jesus Christ that supersedes anything being cranked out of Washington, D.C.
Let me tell you something. There's a danger of putting it off. And that's why I'm talking about make haste. And we got a room full of folks here, and some of you may be visitors, and I want to warn you about the danger of not acting on this. Listen, if this is the first time you heard the gospel and you want to talk to somebody in detail, that's fine. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you what. There's people that hear it. There's people that come to church. There's people that feel good about themselves for a day, and they go back into that world on Monday, back into the nasty now. And I'm going to tell you something. There's a danger of putting it off. Acts chapter 24 and verse 15, it says this. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient time, I will call for thee." Paul is witnessing. He's making an impact. It says Felix trembled. Yeah. Amen. But he put him off and he said, "Go thy way for this time. Because it's all about us. When I have a convenient time." Well, here's the problem with that. Nowhere in the scripture does it record that Felix ever got it, that he ever got another chance, that he ever had a convenient time, that he was ever converted. And that boy knew the truth, and he's hearing it right out of the mouth of the Apostle Paul himself, and he got this close, and he missed it! Two chapters later, Acts 26, verse 28, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul," almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. These guys got close. Amen. But they missed it. They didn't get it. Could I tell you this morning that almost a Christian is not a Christian? Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Getting baptized to the tadpoles know you personally doesn't make you a Christian. Well, there's people that think that's what does it. The Bible says that's not what does it. Being a good person doesn't make you a Christian. Christian upbringing. Christian education. That doesn't make you a Christian. We witnessed to a kid one time up in Connecticut, and my wife finally, and he seemed like, well, we thought he was. My wife said, "When did you get saved?" She asked everybody that. I tell you what, if it makes you uncomfortable when somebody asks you to get saved, doesn't that tell you something? He told the maniac Adair, "Go tell people you got saved. Tell people." I love it when people ask me. I end up the track and people go, "Is that you?" And I go, "Yeah." And they said, "What happened to you?" And I said, "Thank you for asking." Because I live to tell people about Jesus Christ. This guy says, "Oh, I've always been saved." Flag's going up now. And then we looked at her and I says, "Really? Tell me about that." "Oh, my dad's a preacher. Oh, I've been in church all my life. I've never done I. Let me tell you something, man. Being born into a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian. Being a good person, going to Christian school, living by Christian principles. You live by Christian principles and they'll make for a good life. Oh yeah, I wrote about brotherhood. There's bike gangs, there's military special operation units, there's corporations, there's mafia people that live by the concept of brotherhood better than we do. Amen. Guess what? They ain't getting into heaven because of it. Christian principles will make for a good life. Keep you out of prison, maybe. Amen. I don't know, the way things are going these days might get you put in. Don't worry about it, it's not as bad as they say. Only Jesus Christ can make you a Christian. You hear me this morning? Zacchaeus came to the place. Zacchaeus came to the place. He sought to see Jesus. I'm going to get it right one of these times. You didn't even know, did you? It says, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He could not. Jesus came to him. Amen? Jesus came to him, but he spoke to him and he said, "Come down." Now, I'm not going to re-preach the message. You got the message. What is it? What is it in your life that's keeping you from admitting
that you need to be saved. Could I just tell you, with all the love I can muster, you need to come down off of that thing. And you need to come to Jesus. And you need to hurry up. Yeah. And I don't know how many chances you're going to get. This thing is winding down fast. And I don't know how long. I mean, I appreciate the liberty that we have to still meet in Jesus' name. There's a lot of places in the world you can't anymore. And I'll tell you what, if we lose this, it's because we've taken it for granted for so long. And we haven't prayed for our country the way we should. But either way, things are unfolding just the way the Lord said. So I'm not freaking out about it. I'm not surprised about it. I expect it to get better on the other side, not on this end. But I know why I'm here. And I know why this church is here. To let other people know. The wrath of God is ahead. And the forgiveness of God is available now. And you do well to get in on it. Jesus told Zacchaeus to make haste. And I just want to say, someone in here may be saved. Not where they should be with the Lord. Not walking in the Spirit. Not walking with the Lord. Not experiencing the victory that Jesus Christ can give. Sometimes we get just tired of fighting. We throw in the towel. The Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And maybe you're a Christian here today and you're here on Sunday morning. Now this meeting started 2 days ago. And this meeting's going to go every night. Tonight. Every night this week. And next Sunday too. Unless they fire me. Don't worry, if they fire me, they're going to bring somebody else up here to preach to you. There's a meeting going on. Amen. You might be saved. Listen, if you can be here, I don't know, this is where you should be, right? You say to yourself, well, one of these days, I'm saved, and I know I got some areas and some issues, and one of these days, I'm going to get it right. One of these days, I'm going to sell out. I'm going to get in all the way. I'm going to live for God. Just not today. Just not today. You know, Christians that say that in their heart, because nobody's saying that to a preacher, know that the Bible says you have no promise of tomorrow. You have no promise of how long you're going to be here, how many chances you're going to have. You do have a promise that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So whatever yesterday was, whatever's going on in your heart today, whatever's not, whatever's going on in your life that you wouldn't like to explain face to face to Jesus Christ, that's what you need to get settled today. And the Bible said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And it is amazing to me that he made it as easy to get right with God and get a clean slate after you've been saved, after you made some mistakes, after you've blown it. He's made it just as easy to get right as he made to get saved in the first place. You got to come to him with an honest heart. And he'll take care of it. But he's the only one that can take care of it. And he made the first move. And now it's your move. And there's something keeping you from walking with the Lord the way you ought to. And being the witness that you ought to be. And being the encouraging church brother or sister that you ought to be. If you think it's all about you. Could I ask you, why would it be? How could it be all about you when the world's on its way to hell as fast as it can and the Lord spared few to be a light and a witness and you've got a responsibility as a child of God? How can you consume your life with thinking about yourself? In all fairness, it was all about you one day. And you had a need you couldn't meet. And Jesus Christ stepped up to the plate. Yeah, that's putting it mildly. And Jesus Christ met that need on the cross. And he made forgiveness available. And he shed his blood. And you got in on it. Those of you that are saved, you got in on it. It was all about you. But now, it's all about him. And that's the purpose of the meeting. That's the purpose of preaching, whether it's in a meeting like this or it's any given church service. And if the Lord, behold, I stand at the door and knock. All right. Time to get a hold of the doorknob and open the door. And I'll tell you what, the Lord leads, well, it leads to your knees. And personally, I'm a fan of the old-fashioned altar. I know we're losing that in this modern age, and people don't move like they once did or like I believe they should. And but that's just my opinion. You're welcome to do it your way. But I'm going to tell you what, this is not about opinion. You're going to have to come to Christ. You're going to have to come down. If you haven't been living the way you should, you need to start, and you can, and you can make it straight. You can get a clean slate. You can leave here with victory in your life. You can leave here closer to God than you came in. And if you're not saved in here today, could I tell you the best thing you could ever do is get your sins forgiven? And you can. And don't wait another day. Don't wait another hour. You can have the confidence of knowing that no matter what happens, hey man, it's not impossible. Those back doors could bust open. Somebody could come in here with a machine gun. That's not impossible. Of course, in Texas, they might get more than they are bargained for, and I hope so, because I'll be ducking back here while you light them up. You know, we had a spiritual message going until, you know, the flesh gets right in there. All I watch is the news. Amen. He said, in verse 6 of Luke 19, he said, and you heard what Jesus told him, but here's what he did with it. Here's what you need to do with it. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Oh, yeah, man. And he never regretted it. That kiss, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to be done. Some of you are saying, you said that 10 minutes ago. Zacchaeus could have stayed up in that tree. And Jesus could have passed on by. And he could have climbed back down and went out and went on back to work and lived the rest of his life knowing who Jesus was. Saw him. He sought to see Jesus. Who you? There he is. I saw him. Yeah, nobody is going to be impressed where Zacchaeus would have went had he not received him joyfully. Nobody's going to be impressed that he saw Jesus. How about you today? Maybe you need to receive him joyfully once and for all. If a 37-year-old federal convicted felon, drug dealer, arms runner, outlaw gang member can take a King James Bible and lay it on the floor next to a rack in a jail cell and say, Lord, if what that Bible says is true. That's where I was. If. I got bigger problems than I thought. And I was looking at 37 years. And if that Bible was true, I had bigger problems than spending the rest of my life in prison. And if that Bible's true and hell's real, I know I'm going. You and me both know I'm going. If it's true, well, I'm not risking it. And I said, ah, Lord, I believe you did what you said you did on the cross. And if that forgiveness, I heard about it as a kid, if that forgiveness could include me, if it could, with all I've done, I want it. If you'll have me, Lord, if you'll have someone like me, I'll have you. And I asked Christ to forgive me. I didn't know what I was getting into. And I never thought I'd get out of jail, and I never thought I'd go to a church, let alone I've never regretted getting my sins forgiven. Amen. Are you saved in here this morning? Are you born again? Do you know on the authority of the Word of God? Was there a time where you admitted to God that you were a sinner and got a hold of the fact that what He did up there on that cross was for you, not us? John 3:16 is not a nursery rhyme. For God so loved the world that He was on. He died for me. If you get in on it, good for you. That's how I look at it. That's how personal it is. He died for me. That's the way you ought to feel about it. And if you've never got a hold of that and you've never asked Christ to forgive you, I'm talking about of your sin for eternity's sake, today's your day and you need to take care of it. And we've got very kind, gracious people, men and ladies. We've got teenagers in this room that could open a Bible and answer a question and show you what it says. How simple it is. All you got to do is be honest. It's not religious. Leave that in the pew. Brother Kincaid's going to come. You listen to what he says. If you're not saved, you can sincerely consider the things that I've talked about. And you respond to what this preacher says. And you'll never regret it. And if you got in on the best God had to offer, and this, the world, the flesh, or the devil, has got more victory in your life lately than Jesus Christ has, man, you can turn that thing around today. And you need to. And I hope you do. Preacher.